Good evening and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Dr. Valerie Parker Hagen.
And good evening. I'm your co-host, Dr. J.R. Ficklin, and welcome to this beautiful Tuesday that we have the privilege of sparking off to a whole new beginning.
You know, we live here in South Florida, Dr. J, and I tell you, the last couple of days have been nice, brisk weather. I told Alex, I was like, oh, yay, we under the covers.
Well, I tell you one thing, it's been what a welcome change. It has been so beautiful. The little clean, crisp breeze just has been so refreshing. And I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to it. The change in seasons, the changing in emotions, the changing in times. This is that time of year that oftentimes we see change.
Yes, this is the holiday season. And, you know, a lot of people are going through emotional issues because, you know, they're alone and they're lonely. And also they may have lost loved ones because for thousands of people, this is actually the first time that they'll be celebrating a holiday without a loved one. So, you know, I thought it was important for us to do a show to encourage people. And I thought of my dear friend, Lyndia Grant. We go back almost 20 years or more. And, you know, many of you have heard me talk about how Lyndia Grant used to tell me to get up out of that bed and take that cover from over my head. Well, this is your opportunity to meet my good friend, Lyndia Grant. Lyndia.
Hi. How are you?
I am awesome. It's so great to see your face.
It's great to be here with you.
Absolutely. You know, this is a season, you know, where people go through a lot of heartbreaks. And, you know, they're like, oh, no, not another holiday. Let's just sleep our way through Thanksgiving, Christmas, and the new year. Maybe we can start afresh for the new year. So I know you have a lot to say because you're a motivational speaker. You're an advocate. You're a life coach. You're an author. So share with individuals some of your story.
Well, what I wanted to do tonight is talk to the people a little bit about some of the stuff that I know is that would be beneficial to them. Number one, you can't love anybody else unless you love yourself best first. But you're after God, and you gotta love God first. Yes. But then before anybody can love you properly, you gotta love yourself. And I know for myself that I didn't get there until then. And it took so much time. And that's why I worked with Valerie and Les Brown and Willie Jolly and lost my mother 20 some years ago. And my husband walked off and left me with three children. It was hard. But I believe, matter of fact, I know that God knows how much we can take. So then he closed doors and opened doors. So as that door closed, I met Valerie and Les Brown. I kept telling everybody I was going to work with Les Brown. I was just speaking it, you know, what the scriptures say, speak those things that be not as though they may. I was looking at Les Brown and had never met him at the Washington Convention Center, calling North Carolina, telling my family, I'm going to work with Les Brown. And I just had this assurance in my spirit that I would. And when I got up there to the stage, I waited for the line to get short. It was break time. And I was the last one in line. And I had a folder that I was brought for him. And when I said hello to him and told him my name, there was another speaker there. He was on his program. And it was like Charlie's Angel. When I started to tell myself, Dr. Baruch, who is a health and nutritionist, started saying, Lyndia Grant, who runs the Georgia Avenue Day Festival and Parade. I said, yep. He said, Les Brown, her and her sisters, them girls are bad. He started telling him about the parade and how everybody in the city would come and she's the coordinator. And that was it. Les Brown took my package. I'm telling you, it was like a guardian angel. God set that whole moment up. And look at all the people I've met. I wouldn't have known Valerie for 20 some years because Valerie was his, or still is his, speaker coordinator. And he was hosting a radio show here in Washington, D.C. at the time. And ended up calling me that I served as his co-host quite often. Whenever his co-host couldn't be there, I would be the one he would call. Then I started working for him in his home studio. Just like I told everybody in my family, I was going to work with Les Brown. He was charging all those people $5,000 and $10,000, whatever the price was. I wasn't paying nothing. I was doing work for my services. But yet I was on the stage, and Valerie would keep me posted on where I should go. And that's when she told me to come to Howard University. And I'm still with my pastor that she introduced me to all those years ago, almost 20 years ago.
Wow. So
I just wanted to set it up so people would know. And I was in the midst of so much turmoil because my mother was a Pentecostal minister. My father was still alive, but my mother died from complications of diabetes. Both her legs were amputated. Buses came from all over the country to North Carolina to her funeral. And people were asking, who is that lady? Why are so many people coming to her funeral? And I wanted to say, she's my mother. Somebody special. No, all of us have mothers. But I guarantee you, Fanny Estelle Hill Grant was a tough girl. And she told me one day, Dr. Valerie, that she saw me speaking in front of a lot of people. And she said, and I see you with a casket full of money. I said, a casket full of money? What do you, why has it got to be in a casket?
Why
it
got to be in a casket?
And I said, well, why do you think the casket? She said she didn't know. That's just what she was shown. But after her death, all I could do was learn about diabetes, and I have been doing it for free. And just like the scripture also said, your gift will make room for you. I got phone calls to come and work and get paid to teach about diabetes. And so I just wanted to say how one thing leads to another, and it has been truly successful up until now with the pandemic. But, you know, God ain't through with us.
Yes,
absolutely.
Some things we've had to put off, but we'll be all right.
Yes.
Indeed. So, you know, when you were talking about the shift and how it was kind of difficult to jumpstart again, can you go through a process and share with the audience, you know, that life is real. Life happens.
Yes, indeed.
Life happens. It happens, does it? It happened. During the time we met, I was going through, because I had just divorced and I had just gotten into my own place again, mm-hmm. because I was wind up being homeless. And then I started working for Les. Yeah, I started working for him probably like 6 months, almost a year after I was homeless. And then when I met him, my life spiraled into an upward position. And one of the things I want to share with the audience is, you know, just because one door closes, it doesn't mean it won't open back again.
That's right.
To another door, to new beginning. So can you expound on your journey and your progress through the heartbreaks and the setbacks of it all?
Yes, indeed. As I was coming, I would say that listening to Les Brown in the training helped save my life, because after my mother passed, I didn't know I could feel so down. I was laying on the couch. I didn't feel like I wanted to get up, and I didn't know people could feel like they didn't want to keep living. I did. I didn't want to kill myself, but I thought, how can I live on this earth without my mother? Because I had a business on Georgia Avenue in Washington, D.C., and an office. And every time I have problems, I would call my mother, because my husband had walked out and left me with three children with no child support. So I had to be a businesswoman, entrepreneur, do everything. And all I can say is that listening to motivational speakers, Les Brown, Jim Rohn, every motivational speaker that I could, I would turn them on self-talk. I just listened, because what I want people to know is we have to reprogram our thinking when we're going through hard times.
Yes.
Otherwise, Napoleon Hill tells us plain that weed will grow inside of our minds automatically, just like weeds grow in crops and fields and gardens. You got to go out there and pull the weeds out to keep your flower garden beautiful. Weeds will grow in our brains just the exact same way. And all we have to do is quit, and then the weeds will take over. So we have to work at making sure we de-weed our mind. And then you got to reprogram it with something. You can't just plant the seeds and expect them to stay there. I learned this story from Les Brown about the Chinese bamboo tree. How you plant that tree, but it might take 5 years for anything to happen. And the only person who will get a bamboo tree to come up is one who continues to water it, no matter how much people talk about you and say, that woman is crazy. She's out there tilling that land every day, watering that ground. Ain't nothing came up in 5 years. They're ready to call the insane asylum for you. But when the bamboo tree comes up, it grows 90 feet in so many weeks. I haven't looked at the story lately, but it goes extremely fast. Look up the story. And it's a true story, the bamboo, Chinese bamboo tree. So we have to be like that. Now, did the bamboo tree grow that fast in 6 weeks? No. It was the growth underground that was going on. So what I'm saying to you is, while that was going on with me, having to raise kids by myself with no child support, now my mother was dead and I had an office and I had to figure out how to keep going, and I'm thinking, how do I make this happen? I was getting strong, listening to all the speakers and the self-talk and doing it. My daughter said she thought I was going crazy too, because I listened every day. I went to sleep to it and I woke up to it, because I was reprogramming my thinking. And I was doing what Napoleon Hill said in his Think and Grow Rich book. You have to reprogram your thinking. And I knew that I was a woman at that time in my 40s, and I had had 40 years being the daughter of sharecroppers in North Carolina, working out in the country, living with outdoor toilets and no running water, coming to the city when I was in junior high school, and working my way through and getting out of high school and still not knowing, but so much. It's so much that we can learn, but you have to want to know. So that's what I had to do. I just had to begin to reprogram my thinking. Listen, it was like I had to cut down trees in a forest to create my own path, because yes, I didn't have anybody to follow in my family. My daughter and my sons now are doing so much better than me. My middle son that went to Morehouse College got his master's, making $130,000 a year. My daughter bought two houses. She is a computer technician. My baby son is a manager for Whole Foods. He's been employee of the month, and everybody loves him at Whole Foods. He's been there about 20 years. These children are rolling, but they only had their mother, because when their daddy left, the baby who's 40 was in kindergarten. The ninth grader is the one that went to Morehouse College. Now he lives in Atlanta, living in a gated community, doing beautiful. And my daughter lives in Phoenix, Arizona. But these were children. She lives in Gilbert, near Phoenix. But these were little kids, and their mother had to sacrifice. So how could I do that? Making sure to stay strong for my children, and not only run around with men like I was the only one that mattered, because somebody had to have some sense in the house. And so I would run out and get me some once in a while. I had somebody. I hate to say this, we're not in church, so I'm just telling y'all the truth, talking about relationships.
Real talk.
But I didn't let them get involved in what was going on, because I didn't meet a husband. Still haven't, Valerie. I already had a conversation with God about it. I said, let me tell you, Lord, the man I had was a military man who was choking me. It was domestic violence, and he was not a husband. I said, I'd rather keep my hand in your hand until it's time for you to call me home than for me to be with some man that is not who I need to be. I said, the scripture tells us the man who finds a wife finds a good thing. I am not looking for no man. So when one finds me, he'll have a good thing. and he'll take me just as I am. So that's one thing I want to give a tip to women who
out there. Yeah, because you know, Lindy, a lot of times women settle because they figure, oh, my biological clock is running out. I'm not going to ever be able to have any children because I'm late in age getting mm-hmm. into relationship. And so they settle for something just to say, oh, I got a man. And then I've heard so many women say, a half a man is better than no man at all. Well, I had a half a man, and I'm telling you,
I don't agree with that, because you'll be too unhappy, miserable. First of all, you can't be unequally yoked, because it doesn't matter how good somebody look. That's one thing. They can look good all they want. I see couples sometimes where one looks so different from the other. You wonder why they love each other so much, because it's not about looks. It's about how they love each other. That woman brings that man what he needs, and that man brings that woman what she needs. And they were mature adults who went together because it wasn't about, I picked a beauty queen. Right. Or somebody who was look good enough to be Miss America. No, I chose a mate, somebody who could help make my life better, somebody who believed what I believe. You came from the same type background. Even my daughter got married, and she's getting the divorce now. But I told her, even though it's been almost 20 some years, her husband is from Dominican. And I told her, I said, Tanika, you have to understand that he has a different background than you. He's a different culture. It took my daughter so many years to finally figure that out. I said, well, Tanika, I did tell you. So yes, you did, Mom. There's so many things we tell our children that they won't listen to. And I would have to say that it's because we all have to get our own experience. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing I can say on it, because she couldn't believe me, but she does now, after all this time. So I want people to understand that it's not about what you look like, but you should try to tap into somebody that have the same type understanding about life as you. You really do need that. I think, this is just you asking me what I think. I believe that if you're a girl who grew up with religious parents and you learn about God and you go to church, why would you go out here and want to marry somebody that didn't believe in God, didn't believe in anything you believed in? You're talking east and walking west. Y'all are not, you're unequally yoked. So I want to remind people that it's not just about how fabulous somebody is or how good the sex is, because it won't be good long after you all start running into some of those difficulties.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. J, you talking from a man experience and stuff, I'm sure that the ladies want to know from a man's perspective, what is it that incites you or that you're looking for in a relationship, because you're single now?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing, because, you know, I found out as we get in different spaces in our life, in different stages, our needs actually change. You know, when we get a little bit more mature, you know, the Coca-Cola bottle was fine, but you know what? You want a Coca-Cola bottle that's not going upside your head neither, right?
Okay. Exactly.
And so what matters, and I can speak from my perspective, at this point in time, what matters to me is this. Based upon my personality, I'm a giver. I'm a lover. Yes, I'm a giver. And I've spent my whole life giving in service to God, in service to people, raising my kids. And I've given. And I've given to the women in my life that have been in my life. The thing about it for me is that I have been devoid of that reciprocation. Mm-hmm. I've been devoid of it. Either people became involved because of the fact they looked at what was attached to my name, or the optics of what it looks like, or those type things there. But for me, I'm very simple. My life off camera is quite different from the life on camera. Let me put it this way. Mm. The life on camera looked like, wow, this guy is so busy. He's popular. Everybody wants him there. But the life off camera is really, I'm a very quiet guy. I really like quality time. I like doing things that really builds and edify. I like being able to say, look here, you and I against the world. That's where it matters, because at the end of the day, Everybody out there, that's the same thing I say about Facebook and all social media. People can say all those great things about you, and that's fine. But when the lights are off and when no one is around, you need that significant other who not only hears you, that can understand you, who can now pour into you so much of what you done poured out to others. Mm-hmm. So that's important. So being appreciated is important. Interesting. I saw a question that was polled on Facebook today. It had asked men, the question, was marriage a goal to them or not? Was marriage a goal or it was an option? And most guys' answer said, no, it's definitely a goal inside of it. But let's talk about what it looks like later on in life. Because later in life, at this stage of my life, you think about the fact, what is it that you really want? Yeah, you want someone that you can love. Loving you is never hard for me because that's what I am naturally. It's just that I've entered a stage of my life where I'm saying, if it cannot be mirrored back and loved back, I can do without it because of the fact I will give my all. That is proven. Mm-hmm. The thing about it is this. Loving me for me is what's important at this point. Loving me for me. Mm-hmm. Not this one-sided type thing, W-I-I-F-M, that's in it for you.
That's my prayer right there. Yeah, you got to take me as I am.
Right, and being able to walk alongside you. Mm-hmm. You want a person that can dream with you. You want a person that can embrace where you're going. And, and since I am a builder, it's natural for me to build that woman that's in my life. I'm not intimidated by you. Matter of fact, I'm going to be your biggest cheerleader. I might not look as fine as you do with a pom-pom and a skirt and all that, but I'm going to be your biggest cheerleader because that's what I do. What I need to know from you is the fact, do you have the capacity to love me? The capacity, not just the desire, the capacity to love me. Because the capacity to love me means the fact that, baby, you become like a suit. You know, the Bible said that when God gave Adam a helpmate, she was suited for him.
Yeah.
She was suited for him, meaning that she was fashioned for him. She was made for him. And that's what's important at this point in time. So at the end of the day, you know, I'm looking for what God wants for me this side.
Amen. That's our sorority scripture about woman being a helpmate because she was made for man. Wow. And so we read that at our sorority meetings every month. We read that. We believe that.
You know, I think a lot of the issues that women find that hinders them from being in a fulfilled relationship is their expectations are so far out there till, you know, like you said, Dr. J, you want somebody that's going to be able to mirror the love that you want to give them. But so many women, their expectations are so high where they want the man to be all this, that knight in shining armor, where they don't have to do anything. They don't want to put in any work. But then again, you get that man who is willing to love you and appreciate and adore you, and you don't have the capacity to receive the love that he has because you're broken inside from past relationships. Mm-hmm. You're broken from and have scars from your past, and then you expect that person that you say you love to be able to deal with that, but you don't have the capacity to share or communicate where you're hurting so that he can put that healing balm of Gilead to try to walk you through the process of wholeness.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think inside of that, what happens a lot too is this, that sometimes a person can be so broken and so damaged that by the time they come out of it, they come out of it almost feel like they wasn't good enough while they was broken and damaged. Mm-hmm. And so they try to come out of this thing only with the mindset of let me show them that I am. And yet still they don't have the capacity to truly be loved because they're too busy trying to, if you will, factory reset back to what they were. So some people don't know how to receive love because of what they have dealt with in time past. In other words, abnormality becomes very normal to some people. We like to call it drama. There's some people, listen, they function with drama. I've had people come to me inside of counseling. I remember in my days of pastoring, you know, I would have people come and say, well, pastor, you know, everything like that. I said, well, what's going on with you and your new guy? Oh, no, I had to let him go. Let him go for what? He was too nice. I couldn't deal with all that, pastor. So Hold up, you the same one who cried on the desk and cried on my shoulder about the last guy who used to beat you up, who used to thread you and treat you like you was nothing. But when someone came that respected you, someone came who valued you, someone who came that literally treated you like a queen, you said it was too nice. Why was it too nice? Because you have become very accustomed to conflict. You become accustomed to that. And so therefore, there's something in your mind that says that person, somehow or another, don't love me.
Right. Because he's not exactly. Being abusive. He's not defaming making you feel inconsistent.
Can I just throw in about how we gravitate to one another? It's this chemistry. Mm-hmm. So I want us to talk about the chemistry. It's like animals. It is. It's just like the dogs out in the street. It's chemistry. So
dogs in the street.
It is. You see them. They don't care. They just gone and they do what they need to do. Don't care how big the dog is, how little the dog is.
So hold up. This is God said. I want to hear you talk about chemistry because what you just was a mountain. Did you what you just said? She was saying the dog don't care about anything. So there's no sense of really logic or reason with them. It's all about the impulse. Go ahead.
That's what I want. And that's what I want people to understand is you want to have chemistry with your spouse. You do. You have to. I don't want anybody that I'm not attracted to. I'm going to say that. And I was thinking about that when you said these women who want these types of men, maybe they're attracted to that. I don't know. But almost when I came on the show, I started thinking about how women who have gone through a lot need to go through some years of just finding a brand new place. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Because especially if you've been through what Valerie and I went through, domestic violence, we have to be able to appreciate the next man and not threaten him with what he might do because the other one did it because he's right. Another person
baggage.
We have to drop that suitcase and face to face with people. But I also want to say sometimes chemistry get people in trouble.
Absolutely.
Tell me what you think about this chemistry business. Cause I don't know. God made chemistry. So we are attracted to who we attracted to. So what about that?
Well, I think it goes back to this. Chemistry is important. Understand when we start talking about chemistry, now we're talking about two different things. We're talking about biochemistry. Mm-hmm. There are certain things that we can be attracted to a person with. You could be attracted to someone. You could bump into someone at the water cooler. And I just got to like the way they move. But chemistry is a very significant part, but a small part of this whole thing. Because mm-hmm. beyond chemistry, we must have compatibility.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We must have connectivity. And if we don't have those things, because listen, chemistry doesn't necessarily guarantee compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all. So chemistry is good as far as those initial things. And I get butterflies, but mm-hmm. how long does butterflies last? Because the butterflies will eventually go. But if you have a young chemistry, you have connectivity, you have compatibility, and you have compassion, you overcome storm. See, mm-hmm. when chemistry is gone and you don't have chemistry, does that mean that's when you walk out? No, because I'm held together by the glue of connectivity. I'm held together by the glue of compatibility. I'm held together by the glue of compassion. So mm-hmm. you're right. Chemistry could be a very misleading thing in the same token. You know, think about it. You ever heard the term one man's trash is another man's treasure? Now, what's the difference here?
Yeah.
One person saw it as trash. Mm-hmm. They saw no value in it. It wasn't attractive to them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the other person saw it as treasure because it did have value. They saw the significance inside of it. And so the trap, and as I think we segue into this part here, even in doing these holiday seasons, I like to say this artificial construct, mm-hmm. and I'm going to go on the limb and say that we create, that we call holidays, artificial construct, end of the year. You know, the music start going. We start yearning and longing for people. Folks written songs, Christmas just not Christmas without the one you love. You know, mm-hmm. it's lonely outside and all those things. And all of a sudden, the radar goes on and we just want somebody. Lottie, Dottie, give me somebody.
Anybody. You know? Let me say this, Dr. Thicklin. Now, the thing about chemistry, I want you to hear me out. I brought it up just to get it out on the table. Mm-hmm. But I also know that chemistry can grow. It's almost like the people in India who match their families. I know the love of my life is dead now, but when he was coming after me, I didn't see all that handsomeness in him at first. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, he was such an attractive guy, and he's gone. And I think about him so much now because I think he's the only man in life that I ever have truly loved. Wow. But he kept coming after me, and I wasn't thinking about him. And all the women in my government agency wanted this man, but he was steady, kept talking, he wouldn't stop. And one day, he just walked in my office and sat down at my desk. And all of a sudden, I became attracted to this man. I couldn't hardly talk to him. I got nervous. So I want to let people know that it doesn't have to be sudden either. I don't know what happened. I can't tell you why
it just
that
suddenly happened.
Yeah, it just happened. And I had seen this man all this time, and he had been trying to chase me down. He would hear my heels walking down the hallway and come out. And I didn't like it. But when he sat down at my desk and I was talking to him, and we weren't talking about nothing romantic, but everything inside of me changed at that moment. I had I became attracted to him. So I wanted to just let people know it's not just like animals outside. I said that
right.
Because too many people treat it that way.
Right, right.
And that's the reason why I said it. Too many people treat it as if you're supposed to sleep with anybody you think you can, you know, get it up with. And that's not necessarily true. Have some manners, have some respect, and treat yourself like the lady that you are. And the man right. that you are, even though they say men can do it and women can't. But you got some women doing it and men doing it these days.
You know, if I heard you right, what you just described was the fact that in some ways, chemistry can be cultivated.
Exactly. I wanted that to be known.
And that's important because the fact, if we relegate chemistry only to a feeling, mm-hmm. a certain feeling, we might be robbing ourselves.
Exactly. Missing out on a good thing. Like right. I almost did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, the cultivation of things.
A lot of women and men both miss out on good things just because they don't fit that exterior.
That instant chemistry.
Yeah.
Right. And so cultivate. You think about it. Sometimes we grow closer to people through what we go through.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we grow closer to people because of the fact, somehow or another, I saw your strength in the midst of your struggle.
Sometimes we
go closer to people because of the fact, like a tea bag, our life isn't worth nothing.
That's right. Put me in hot water.
And so now you're going through some hot water. Girl, I look at you now.
Exactly. Look at you, different way.
I look at you now. Oh, girl, your legs look. I didn't know you were so bow-legged until now. Because
different
fact,
levels girl, of attraction.
Right over that stuff that was in.
Because
of the fact, now what's happening is that we begin to see character in a different way.
That's right.
The chemistry. Notice all the C's that we talked about chemistry. We talked about compatibility. We talked about connectivity. Then we talked about compassion. Now mm-hmm. we're talking about character. Because
that's right.
all of that. And that's when you start thinking intelligently. Mm-hmm. And that's when you start understanding the fact, I'm not going to allow, watch this, my emotions alone to rule this relationship.
That's
my
right.
My emotions cannot have a throne mm-mm. in the relationship.
No.
Mm-mm. All of this have to come together because now
even try.
The magnetic pull that I really want won't happen because of the emotion alone. It's going to happen because those other things there together. And I think that's what we have to be very careful of even during the holidays.
That's
we have
right.
to. Now, that's magic right. happens.
Don't be desperate. Don't be desperate, y'all.
Exactly.
Love yourself. Love your family. Love your home. Love going outside. Grounding. If you don't know God, it's like touching the earth. It's like touching God. If you haven't read about grounding, you ought to read about it. Earthing. It'll help heal your body. It helped heal my daughter when she had COVID. She came outside in Arizona and stayed on the ground for 8 and 10 hours. The doctor said he thought she was going to die. She was in the hospital for 3 days. But after he let her come out, he didn't give her a good prognosis. But I said, Tanika, please get out there in the earth and let it's like touching God. That's what I said. And she would keep her feet on the ground and she would do her work from home using her laptop from the ground on the grass and in the dirt. Mm. And when she went back to her doctor, she did it for 3 or 4 days. He said, man, what did you do? She said, because I thought we were going to lose you, you know, your vital signs. So I want people to understand that trees and flowers and vegetables and stuff don't grow out of the earth for nothing. There's mm-hmm. some good stuff in the earth. When you outside, take your shoes off. I had shows on my radio show about it. With me and Larice would be talking about grounding and earthing and how it can help heal your body. It can help make diabetes better. If you're sad about your relationships, go out there and touch God. Touch the earth. Go out there. And mm-hmm. if you can't do it in the wintertime, they sell products. I got one on my bed right now. A mat that I use to sleep on every night. To keep myself grounded.
Wow.
So it's so many things. I can't get into it all, but we have to take care of ourselves so that when we meet somebody, we can be ready to deal with them and they can be ready to deal with us. But they have to take you as you are. And then they have to meet you halfway. And just like I always tell anybody married, you're not going to get 100% and neither is he. You got to meet each other halfway. Because there's some things you got to give for him, and there's some things you got he have to give for you. It's no one person, like Dr. Thicklin was saying, he don't want to be the one doing all the giving. He wants somebody that can give to him too. Absolutely. You have to be ready to surprise your spouse. You have to think more of the spouse than you do yourself. You already love you. You already know. I drive a Jaguar that's convertible. I love it. It's silver. Mm-hmm. I'm treating mm-hmm. myself to things I want now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a XJ 2001 classic.
I love it.
And I ride around in my car and I love it because I don't have to have no man to love me. I love myself. And I said, God, I put my hands in your hands. I don't have to have no man. Love God first. And so that's just the way I see it, you all. I'm sorry. You have to learn to love you and be ready when you get somebody to give because you can't get it all. Yes. You have to give just as much as they give.
Yeah, you know, in your 20s, you go through high school and you may have that high school sweetheart and then transition into college and you'll go to college and you're still dating. So you've grown up together. And then in your 30s, you've come to an understanding of what your purpose is and what your goals are in life that you want to accomplish. And if this person that you dated in your 20s is worth continuing that journey into your 30s. That's and if right. it's not, it's okay. You just focus on your
you
dreams.
You outgrew each other. That's right.
Yeah. Then in your 40s, you know, hopefully you're married and you're raising your children and you're enjoying life and taking trips and working your business, working that job. And then when you're in your 50s, hopefully the kids are halfway grown. If they're not grown, you That's got right. grandchildren and yes. you move on to your 60s into your twilight years where you're enjoying the grands and the great grands and life is over. And this is things we dream about and we aspire to do. Now, if you miss all of your 20s and 30s and 40s and here you are in your 50s and 60s and mm-hmm. still haven't found that perfect person to share the rest of your life with, it's okay.
Yes, it is.
It's okay. It does not mean that life is over. It does not mean that you were cut short because it's better to be alone than to wish you were.
That's Absolutely. Right. That's right.
You know, so everything is always a process. Even when you meet that person, it's a process because you're both going to have to unload some baggage because if you're a certain age, there is a lot of baggage that
that's
has
right.
to be unloaded, but y'all have to be willing to put in the work.
That's and right. See, that's why I said you both got to give. That's right. Mm-hmm.
That's where the breakdown happens. Nobody wants to put in the work because they're so anxious to get to that fairy tale and that butterflies. And sometimes you don't always feel butterflies. But, you know, if you are fortunate enough to feel the butterflies, woohoo, great.
That's
great.
Right. That's
I
right.
Mean, my husband and I have been together 7, going on 8 years now. And sometimes I still feel butterflies, even That's though right. we've been together all these years.
That's
and it
good.
Doesn't mean, just like you were talking, Lydia, the man came and sat at your desk, and then all of a sudden you got an aha moment. That's how it is when you're yes. growing together.
Yes, yes.
You know, unfortunately, there's so many school of thoughts out there that some people miss out on things because they're so busy picking it apart.
Yes.
They're so busy trying to find out what's wrong.
Powerful.
Yeah. Yes, they're so busy trying to find out what's wrong than being able to embrace what's right.
That's right.
You know, if I sit there, whatever I nurture, that's what grows. If I keep nurturing how bad you are, how you don't do this, that's what grows in my mind. That's what grows in my imagination. That is what begins to dictate how I perceive you. But by the same token, if I'm willing to open my heart and open my mind and trust God, listen, here's a prayer I pray. And I can't believe I'm saying this publicly, but I am. Here's the prayer I pray. I pray for the wife that God will send me. Mm-hmm. And I pray that I will learn that I will love her. In other words, I ask God to love her through me.
Mm-hmm.
Love her through me.
Mm-hmm.
Because see, if you love her through me, then I'm going to give her the type of love that you want her to have. But by the same token, I ask God to prepare her. Let her have the capacity to love. That means that somewhere along the line, we have to deal with our toxicity that's in us. Toxicity from past relationship, toxicity from disappointment, toxicity. You were saying earlier, Lydia, that the fact that, you know, if you are coming into this thing already in doubt, if you're coming into this thing where you're already pulling apart, well, you ain't got nothing to stand on.
No.
Because the fact you're pulling apart before you can ever get started. And so the thing about it, often hear people say, well, I don't know about now. I can't start. Well, you know, the old saying that you don't have to be great to get started, but God knows you got to get started to be great.
That's
You'll
right.
never know what it's going to be if you don't get started, if you
That's
don't start
right.
walking toward it. And those are the things that we have to keep in mind. Yeah, keep a God conscious, keep your mind open inside of that, but don't self-sabotage your own self out of what God may have for you.
But Dr. Thicklin, when you said you want her to love you, God through you,
no,
that kind of
I want to love her. I want God to love me. Love her through me.
Right. Now, to me, that reminds me of the scripture that say a man should love the wife the way God loved the church. That reminds me of that scripture.
Yeah.
Isn't that so?
Absolutely.
So it's Absolutely. Nothing wrong with that. That's good.
No, that's a long suffering. That's an understanding to dwell according to knowledge. And it's nothing like, you notice this. I'm going to say this, because I think you triggered this when you said something earlier. I think there's nothing wrong with examining your own failures of your past.
That's right.
But there is something wrong with bringing those failures and examine another person by your standard of your own failures.
Mm-hmm. So don't make me him.
That's
don't
right. No, don't do that.
Don't
That's
do
why
that.
You got to clean up your garden. You got to get all the weeds out.
I love that analogy.
And have fresh flowers growing. And so I've been doing that for so many years. When somebody meet me now, they got a nice clean house because it's clean inside. I've been studying and doing all this stuff and saying, Lord, don't send me nobody unless you did it. Because I ain't chasing nobody, no more, ever. That's the end of that. Because I know that when it happens, it'll be correct. It'll be right. I know they're going to take me as I am. They won't be telling me stop doing radio. Don't. They won't tell me not run my business. They will help me. Everything that I'm trying to do, they will jump in and make it better. And not only will they make it better for me, then I can also make it better for them. Because all the things I've done in my 70 years, I got something to share with people too. You know, all those flyers and things you see on Facebook, I create all that myself. I don't have no company doing it. I do it. And so I love it. I enjoy it. And I have a whole lot. I do all the flyers for my church every week. do it. I do all of that. So there's so much that we have to bring to the table. I went back to school, you all, and got my BA and my master's after all of that. Okay. Got my master's, and thank you about getting a PhD, because while you still living, you can still keep learning.
Absolutely. Yes.
What Les Brown say, if I can look up, I can get up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that you're sharing with the audience, Lydia, is that, you know, you have to occupy yourself.
Yes.
Don't get so swolled up and rolled up into a knot like I used to.
And crying.
Thinking about the fact that I was stuck. You know, if you keep dwelling on what you don't have and start celebrating what you do have, yes, you'll have the courage to get, yes, up and see what else God has for you. If that's, I hadn't right, pulled that cover from over my head and gotten up, I wouldn't have met Les Brown.
That's,
I wouldn't,
right,
be traveling the world. I wouldn't have met my husband. My children wouldn't be successful all with college and uh-huh, all that. Uh-huh. So yeah, if I hadn't got up out of that bed and took the cover off of it, because, you know, the ex told me that I would never meet anybody, that you, no, see, man is going to want anybody with four kids. What are you going to do with a man with four kids? They're not going to even want you, because basically he was saying, you're spoiled now, because, mm-hmm, I done spoiled you, I done damaged you, where you can't get nobody else. And that's the lie that the enemy, that enemy inside,
exactly,
is believing that you can't. Mm-hmm. And if you let I can be your fuel, you can get to the next level.
That's right.
And you can celebrate and have great holidays. And, you know, if you have children, continue to love them and sow into their lives, but don't deprive yourself of living your best life. Take a trip. You know, cruises are opening up.
Oh,
you,
yeah, know,
get some girlfriends and take a trip. We're going to Vegas in a couple of days. You know, start networking with other people. Start, that's going, right, out to, that's, events, right, and empowering your mind and your spirit so that you won't feel alone or, mm-hmm, be lonely.
And join organizations. I love the organizations that I'm a part of. I am the national president of Gamma Phi Delta Foundation. I'm putting, mm-hmm, on an event next year in Atlanta, Georgia, where we're inviting all kind of stars, from Tyler Perry on down to Stacey Abrams to the Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms. And, you know, I already know God equipped me to be able to get things like that done, because I have done,
yeah,
it too many times in my life. And so it's a challenge that I enjoy. But
you've already built a legacy for your children. And that's a great thing, too. People don't think about, while they're sitting down, you know, depressed, that it's not always about you. It's about legacy. Even if you don't have any children, you have nieces and nephews. Leave a legacy.
Get yourself busy. I have too many things to do sometimes. So then I gotta, but I enjoy it. I find that I forget about tired. I burn up food. I had a guest, the chief of the fire department in Washington, D.C. on my show, and he told me, I want you to have a show about seniors burning up food. And I wanted to say, that's me. Because as soon as I go back to my desk and I'm warming up some dinner or whatever, if something,
yes,
I'm telling you, it might be 30 minutes later, I smell that stuff is black. I got to almost throw the pot away, because I came in here and I started working on something and somebody called and I just forgot all about it. So I use a crock pot a lot, and I use those electric ovens that the button will go off, so if it won't keep burning, it'll just get cold and you got to warm it again. So, but if you get involved in some work that you love, that's, you know, it's a whole seminar I could do on Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich. People who want to change their life need to, you know, have a major definite purpose. They need to have faith that they can do it. They have to have imagination and all the things, and even sex transmutation is in there, where it talks about how we stop using our bodies for sex and use that energy for our work. Because, wow, you can utilize it. I had to read that chapter a lot of times, and I can teach it. Sex transmutation is very key. Transmute that sexual energy into your work.
Mm.
You'll be surprised how much power, yeah, exactly, is coming from that transmutation in your work. So I just thank and praise God that He has helped shape me into a new creature. And you know, every 7 years, every ounce of our body becomes new. So I always tell everybody, I'm not spoiled. I have memory that I've been with a man, but my body is like a virgin over here. It's clean because every ounce of me is brand new. Ain't no man touched this one, not this.
Mama.
Look it up. Y'all don't believe me. Everything in you replaces every 7 years.
Wow.
It's a replenishing. It's a resetting. It's a re... And it's interesting, you know.
So when I got married, no one, I was fresh.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, the ability to understand that everything in life has seasons. There's a season that when we have gone through things, a season of reevaluation, a season of reflection, a season of even repentance, a season of renewing. But one of the things we have to do is understand, how do we respond to the purpose of the season that we're in? Because if we stay in reflective mode too long, we'll get depressed. So we don't want to do that. So we have to understand, what are we to gather from this time that we're there and move on? Because there are people that when they reflect and they allow themselves to get depressed, they become afraid, they become timid, they become, you know, these people, well, I don't know if I can do that. They become part of the I don't know club. But you cannot remain at the I don't know club, because the beautiful thing about it is that if we allow ourselves, and I love what you're saying about, you know, replenishing our mind, you know, getting those weeds out.
Yeah, you got to get the weeds out.
You got to get the weeds out.
Purposely plant.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to put up affirmations, recite things. I've been driving down the street lately thanking God because I don't have my contracts anymore because of COVID. And I'm going back being a substitute teacher. The kids love me. When I'm going to my car, I'm hearing hi, bye, Miss Grant, from all over the place. And the principal say, the kids love you. But I still don't make the kind of money I was making when I was having my contract, $200,000, $500,000. That's not the same as making $26 an hour. So I say, Lord, I thank you, because I could be one of those who didn't have anything. I had being a substitute teacher to fall back on. And you can't be too proud to do whatever it takes to keep going. But I'm walking by faith and not by sight. And I'm saying what I know I need to say, because I know if I keep right on reminding God that I'm thanking you for new money coming into my bank account, and I'm just thanking you for it. I'm not asking you. I'm thanking you because I know it's coming. I don't know where it's coming from, but I do. And so I've just been saying it over and over recently. I just decided that I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight, and not just talk about it. I have to do it. You got to put in the work.
I love what you said about giving thanks in the midst of it. You know, that there's a scripture in Philippians 4, and it's so interesting because we generally quote the first part where it says, be careful or be anxious for nothing. Mm-hmm. But notice the progression: by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request known. So I'm thanking him, as you said, I'm thanking him right now.
That's
before
right.
I even get it. I'm thanking him before the manifestation.
That's all you do is start thanking him.
And so you start thanking him for it. Now watch this. The more I begin to thank him for it while I'm waiting on it, this is what happened. Then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keeps our heart and our mind.
So that's what I've been doing lately, and I intend to continue.
Yes. Yeah, that's where it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also affirmations too for people who might not talk the same way us preachers. I'm a PK. I grew up around preachers, so you know I can get in the pulpit myself if I needed to.
Okay.
But I want people to understand that you have to speak it. You know, life and death is in the power of the tongue. Don't be walking around poor mouthing, acting like you can't have nothing. Well, then you're not going to have it, because you're giving Satan the lead. Say you can, because you know you can. And you just tell Satan to get from off of your back. He tempted Christ. So we have to know that those negative thoughts are going to come. But when they do come, we have to be strong enough to know that negative thoughts don't come from God. So you know who that is. So if it's negative, you need to rebuke that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Wow, we almost out of time.
I'm just trying to help the women so be strong and get where they need to be so they can have the right spouse.
Absolutely. God is so awesome and so kind. Lydia, how can people connect with you?
Well, they can contact me by writing. My email is lydiagrantshowdc@gmail.com. They can also send a message through my website. You Google me, you'll see a whole lot. You Google me and click images. I've been working for 40 years and doing so much stuff. So people can find me. My phone number, I don't care, it's 240-602-6295. 240-602-6295. And my email address is lydiagrantshowdc. My radio show is on every Friday on Radio 1 at 6 p.m. And you can hear it anywhere in the world, because although it's heard live in the D.C. area, you can go to Radio 1 WYCB and click Listen Live, and you'll hear the show every week.
Awesome. Unless
I put it out.
It has been a great show. It's always great seeing you, hearing from you.
Absolutely.
We haven't talked in a while. So it's great to catch up. And, you know, I want to thank you for being a part of my journey, because I believe I'm here because you pushed me and pulled me. And I always give that testimony and give praise to you for doing that. And, you know, we never know who it is that empowers us to get to the next and what avenue God will use. And, you know, Dr. J and I have been traveling and friends for over 30 years. He's like one of my best male friends, and I appreciate him so much for always having my back, you know.
And
and all of those that, you know, have been part of my life journey, who've empowered me and inspired me, you know, through good and bad, just help me stay the course. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you.
Thank
and
you for asking.
That's why I feel it is our duty to give back and help somebody out. Before you get into that holiday fog, I want you to come out and stand in your power, stand strong, you know, because everybody goes through situation. Everybody goes through setbacks. It's how you handle those setbacks that will cause the shift in your life so that you can get to the next level. So stay strong and stay encouraged. Those of you that listen to the show or want to be a part of the show, you can email me at soultopics@gmail.com. That's soultopics@gmail.com. So if we're having a show, you may be able to tune in so we can hear what you have to say, because this show was created to be a lifeline to the community so that we can stay connected for the needs of the people. Dr. J?
Well, you know what? I am just so elated. I finally got a chance to meet Lydia. You have always talked about her, and the person who told you to get up and, you know, and you get that cover from off your head and let's do what you need to do. But I also want to thank the audience that is out there today that is listening. It's good to see that people are saying that this was what they needed tonight. This is, you know, so that means a lot. But I want to encourage you to continue to move forward. Understand something. You can come out of the box, break out of the box. The box that have confined you, the box that have caused you to feel that there are limitations. Never rehearse your limitations, because you just might get them.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Wow, that's a powerful in itself. And again, you can reach Lydia at lydiagrant.com, and you can always connect Dr. Thicklin at jrthicklin.com. And me, I'm at fromthesoulofawoman.com, my website. So you can see all the things that we're doing. We're just not passing through the night. We have lived this life that we talked about in some capacity. We've had our hearts broken. We've rejoiced.
Made
in accomplishments.
Group. Yes.
And we've had, it's a lot. We've had losses, but we're still here. And that's why we're voices of hope to inspire and encourage. And we thank you for joining us and always keeping in tune with Hot Topics from the Soul. And if this show has been a blessing to you, share it on all your social media platforms. And remember that love affects our past, our present, our future. Love is a gift, an emotion given to us from God, and it should never, ever hurt. Good night, and God bless.
All right. Good night, everybody. Thank you all.